Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Boom! What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. This is the Doug Gottlieb Show, broadcast live nationally every day, 3 to 6 Eastern, 2 to 5 Central, and 12 to 3 Pacific. Hope you're having an absolutely spectacular day. And whether you're able to get together or you're choosing to not get together with family, hope you have a safe and bountiful Thanksgiving. We're obviously going to have one less thing. The one game we wanted to see, we don't get to see. Instead, we get Washington and the Cowboys. Ew. And we get the Detroit Lions and the Houston Texans. All right, at least there's Deshaun Watson. And Daniel Jeremiah will join us. Brian Billick will join us. Rod Woodson will join us. We'll get their thoughts on this topic. And look, I don't profess to know everything. I really like to listen, watch, learn, and do. And look, it's the first day of college basketball, for example, and I'm sitting here watching games. I'm going to take down some notes, learn about some players, listen to people talk, and watch as a sport that I've covered for almost 20 years evolves and change in this weird, like taking fans out of college basketball. Granted, early this season, there's a lot of neutral site stuff, but taking fans out of college basketball is like taking peanut butter out of PB&J, right? Very much part of the product is the fans, fan reaction, the Cameron Casey's, the Izzone, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But I'm open to learn about new players, new styles. Same goes for the NFL. Like, I'm willing to learn to see if we have an evolution with two old dogs. And we talked about it a lot yesterday. Bruce Arians, old dog. Tom Brady, old dog. Working together, you know, Arians has been a quarterback whisperer for years. And Brady's obviously been successful for years. And then kind of the guy in the middle is Byron Leftwich, who's the offensive coordinator. Fairly inexperienced, but he's a former NFL starting quarterback during the Tom Brady era, right? So if there's a guy who can sit there with Tom Brady, he's like, man, I'm with you, man. This doesn't work. Now, he is not Tom. He was never Tom Brady. Byron Leftwich was, like Brady, slow of foot, kind of slow release, but a big deep ball thrower. Like Brady, seen as a great leader. Remember, there's the famous highlight of Byron Leftwich at Marshall having an injury and being carried down the field by his offensive lineman when they're in the two-minute drill. Like, one of the most iconic images I can think of, the leadership of the quarterback position. But now that leadership is being questioned because Bruce Arians continues to poke the bear, He was on Buck's Total Access with Bruce Arians. It's like his coach's show, right? And he mentioned how well he thought the Bucs offensive line played in pass protection against the Rams. Like, this dude is going out of his way to say that Tom Brady didn't play well. Quote, offensively, it's just a matter of each and every week if the quarterback plays well or not, and our job is to make sure he's comfortable and let him play well. So he says, he continues to say, like, we had a plan. We did the stuff in practice. The offensive line played well. He missed throws. NFL insider Dan Graziano said the rumors about tension between Arians and Brady are real. And there's this expression, and Colin uses it a bunch, and I fully understand it in my professional life, which is don't mess with happy. Right? Don't mess with happy. Now, I don't know if Brady was gleefully happy. Like, it's hard in New England. And the weather's bad. And it was bad. And the Patriots, it's the job. The fun is in the winning. And I'm sure at some point he's like, man, is this all there is out there? Is this all there is? I can tell you in my career, I was For 9 years, 10 total, I was working for the other place, and one of the other places came and approached me and said, hey, we're going to start radio. We'll give you a TV show. You'll get to do college basketball. But the way in which I had always done things, it's not the way in which they'd done things. It doesn't make my way bad or their way bad. It's just a different way of doing things. I'll give you an example. So look, when I was at ESPN, the way it worked was I got my start because I was unafraid to knock on a door. That's really it. You know, I did some basketball games, and I was a co-host of a nighttime radio show. And I got on TV by knocking on doors, and a very good friend of mine, a guy named Barry Sachs, like, you know, we could use you, but we can't pay you. So I started to do college basketball analysis, NBA draft analysis on ESPN News. And then I would, if there was a snowstorm, there were plenty, I would go to the other basketball shows and say, like, you know, Jay Billis and Dick Vitale, they can't land because, you know, those guys don't live there. This is before the world of working remotely to do a studio show. I can fill in. And so every once in a while, we get a call to fill in. And then you do a good enough job. And the same thing would happen with Cowherd had that show Sports Nation. I was always around. Matter of fact, the only two people to have their numbers retired from the old Sports Nation said, I got mine retired before Cowherd did because I left before he did. I was the consummate fill-in. And I got it by just asking, right? You can't, people don't just come up with the idea of, you know who'd be good? You know? And not every idea panned out to be a good one that worked out. Right? I don't know if you guys remember, but John, what's his name? I'm going to think of it in a second. He former NFL insider, he's NFL insider. He now works back in Seattle. I'm like blanking on his name. John Clayton and Sean Salisbury used to do this. And it was super cliche. I played, you didn't. I'm big, you're small. You're a dork. You're right. So I went to our then boss, ESPN. I was like, hey, why don't we do that for basketball? I was like, I said, you know, Digger Phelps and I, we don't really like each other. We just don't. You know, I don't know what it is. I have no problem with him, but he doesn't like me. But, you know, he's a coach. I'm a player. Why don't we do it for basketball? A guy named Mark Shapiro was the head of ESPN. He's like, okay, try. Sure. And we did it for a season. And I thought it was really good. And Digger did not think it was very good. And so we didn't do it anymore. But it was an idea. I got to host Stephen A. Smith used to have a show called Quite Frankly. I was the only guest host in the history of Quite Frankly. Did a week filling in for him. I used to guest host the Jim Rome show when he had Jim Rome as Burning Man TV show. Anyway, so I get to CBS and I'm doing a radio show, which is obviously, as you know, you're listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. We cover football. We cover baseball. We talk about very little about college basketball, almost never, except today's the day and then we get to March or whatever. There's a big story we do. So, by the way, you should download the All Ball podcast. Ron Baker, former star, Wichita State, tells us what really happened when he played for Greg Marshall. You don't want to miss it. All Ball, download it. And so when I was at CBS, I had this deal where I would do my TV show and we'd finish taping early on a Friday night, and then I would fly red eye to New York and work the next day. And early in the season, football is going on, we would do like a 6-minute halftime. I'd fly all the way out there. I'd take a nap. I'd take a shower. I'd shave. I'd put on a suit and tie. Put on makeup. I'd do 6 minutes, and then I could fly home. I swear to God. Kind of an inefficient way. So I did the... And I said, like, hey, you know, you guys have that NFL show on cable on Sunday morning. Well, I hosted the one live TV show on cable during the week. Like, if you need something, like, opinion on football, let me know. I'm in town. I already make enough money. Like, I don't need any money. They were like morally offended by it. Now, why are you asking for more stuff? Don't you have enough stuff? Aren't you doing enough work? Why do you want? Like, I just threw it out there. Why? Because that's what I've always done. What I've always done. And the more these people see you doing football, the more credibility it builds for your brand. That's the logic behind it. I thought it made sense. They didn't. Anyway, the point is that that's how I'd always done things. And from how I prepared for a game. You know, at CBS, you go do a game and they want you to have dinner with the crew. Well, I'd fly into town and I want to have dinner with the coaches. My dad was a coach. There's like basketball family. And you find out, you go to their house and you have dinner and they tell you things that you didn't even know you needed to know about their program, about other programs. I mean, this is pretty obvious that they've both done things in different ways for years. And now it's to the point of irritance, which is what happens when you're so used to doing it your way and you're so used to getting your way and you're so used to being successful your way. And somebody says, you have to do it a different way. And when Brady, who has been called out by Belichick, but publicly almost humiliated, hey, our offensive line played good. We showed him what to look. The throws were there in practice. He just didn't make them. He's confused the line of scrimmage. Like, what are you doing? And Bruce Arians can say, I've always done this. Yeah, but not to Tom Brady. Andrew Luck's a great player. He ever go to Super Bowl? No. Ben Roethlisberger went to two Super Bowls. His first one, the best pass was actually thrown by a wide receiver, Antoine Randall. You got Ben Roethlisberger when he was just a pup. Carson Palmer, now he didn't want it. He came out of Cincinnati. He was just happy to be in any sort of organization, you know, with Larry Fitzgerald and be able to throw the ball downfield. Like, it's completely different when you have Thomas Edward Patrick Brady. So I think anybody who switched jobs and had one job for a long time, been successful and gone to somebody else where they've been successful, understands it. That's me. Like, I understand now CBS, now that I don't work there. I understand kind of how they were and how they worked. I had never worked that way. You know, they had never had somebody who worked for radio and a TV show and college basketball. And I had never worked at a place where they didn't have all that stuff. And so what we have here is a failure to communicate. And of course, Dan Graziano is, his report's one accurate NFL insider. He's covered Brady for years. He's covered the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for years. And he's like, tensions are starting to build. Why? Because it's a butting of heads and butting of egos. I do it my way. I do it my way. My way works. No, my way works. Right? Imagine going to Tom Brady and going like, hey, my way is going to work. And Tom Brady just sits there and goes like, I have six Super Bowl rings. Your way works? Bruce, you got one with the Steelers as a quarterback coach, right? We got one. I have six where I actually played, including engineering the greatest comeback in the history of the Super Bowl. I have six. And you're going to tell me that my way of doing it not only isn't the right way of doing it, but then you're going to go publicly humiliate me and say that me at my age, I'm confused? I'm not confused. I'm just trying to do something I've never done before. So how does this end? Poorly. And the question, and like we all have this in business, right? We all have this in business, which is, should I just stay where I am? And this is why people go places where somebody knows them. This is why players always go where there's a position coach or a quarterback. This is why Phillip Rivers went and worked for a guy who was his offensive coordinator before. Phillip Rivers is not great. He might not even be good most weeks. But at least Frank Reich knows completely what he's getting, how he works, how he operates. So you know what you don't get from Frank Reich? You don't get any of this nonsense of, well, you know, offensive line played well. And Phillip Rivers has been terrible in several games this year. You didn't hear it from Frank Reich. And I love Phillip Rivers, but he is not half as accomplished as Tom Brady. Nobody's arguing that. That's why you go somewhere where somebody knows you and work with you before. Not just players, coaches, front office people. This feels like, before I thought it might not work. Then I was like, it ain't going to work. Now I feel like Brady is going to be like, I should just either stayed or walked away. Just, it's not fun. It's not fun to be told the way you've done it all these years, that's worked for you all these years, is wrong. My way is right. You're not. Everybody else is right. You're wrong. Fascinating. By the way, if you're ever switching jobs, there's a book I'd recommend. It's called The First 90 Days, I think is what it's called. I've given it to friends. They passed it around or whatever. It basically tells you that, like, hey, you better go work somewhere where you know somebody. If not, just try and figure out their culture and how they do things. Brady didn't have that. There was no off season. There was just clandestine meetings with Byron Leftwich trying to work things out. All right, coming up next, we've given these teams a false sense of hope. We love sports. but it's actually totally predictable. I'll explain that next.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Hope you're having a great day. I'm going to direct you to download that podcast, which is beginning to make news. We knew when we recorded it, like, this is big. Ron Baker's been a friend of mine since I covered him when they went on that run to the Final Four, was kind enough to share his thoughts, his memories of growing up in Kansas, of playing for Wichita State, and his memory of some of the moments regarding Greg Marshall. You want to download that. That's the All Ball podcast. The Doug Gottlieb Show here rolls on Fox Sports Radio. Let's get to this. The College Football Playoff Committee had their initial rankings come out yesterday. And I understand that if you're Cincinnati, you're sitting there going, hey, we're undefeated, why are we seventh? By the way, Northwestern is undefeated. They're in the Big Ten. They've only played Big Ten teams. And they're ranked behind Cincinnati. BYU is catching a lot of heat because they didn't want to play Washington when both teams had an open date. They're ranked 14th. So we look and there's Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, who of course lost to Notre Dame in, I think it was double overtime. Is that right? Double overtime? I think it was double overtime. They're actually ranked ahead of Ohio State, who just survived Indiana. Texas A&M with one loss is fifth. Cincinnati with one loss is sixth. So essentially, if you're Cincinnati, you're actually in incredibly good shape, right? Incredibly good shape. Because Clemson and Notre Dame are on a crash course to play each other again. So either Clemson's going to eliminate themselves by losing twice, or Notre Dame's going to have a loss and you will have none. I mean, assuming you have to, everybody knows that Cincinnati has to win out. A&M and Florida. Now, you still have the SEC championship game where, Florida can play an Alabama. Of course, Alabama, the big news of the day is Nick Saban is going to miss this weekend's Iron Bowl because he has tested positive for COVID. Now, last time it was a false positive. This time it's a positive positive? A true positive, right? That would, if it's a false positive, well, it's just positive. So Cincinnati actually has an incredible opportunity. So does Northwestern. Because for the Big Ten championship, they'll play Ohio State if they went out. And if they beat Ohio State, oh my goodness, Northwestern could slide on in there, and they would have a better opponent than Cincinnati. But like, look, the thing about college football is, we all saw it coming. Did anybody think? I mean, the reason Cincinnati had an onside kick when they're up four touchdowns against East Carolina is they know they got to do something crazy to get people's attention. And you only do something crazy to get people's attention when you're trying to get their attention because you know how they perceive you. It's a bizarre year where you have, Indiana in many ways was the better team than Ohio State, just way too many mistakes. Some of those mistakes were caused by Ohio State, but many of the mistakes were self-inflicted wounds. What's interesting, though, is that, you have Indiana and Northwestern in atop, the Big Ten. Penn State hasn't won a game. So there's a bizarre year. But at the end of the day, when the dust settles, you kind of could have picked these out. Here's another one that's interesting. USC is undefeated in a major conference. They're 3-0. They're not in the top eight. So as much as Cincinnati has an absolute gripe and Luke Fickell can sit there and go like, hey, we've beaten all comers and we're smashing teams. And okay, USC hasn't smashed teams. They were very lucky to survive the first week of the season, a comeback win against Arizona State. But they've won all three games in their schedule. And usually when you're at USC, if you win all your games in your schedule, you play for a national championship. But we knew this was going to happen. We knew it's like I saw where... Danny Cannell is a friend of ours, a friend of the show. He blasted that Georgia is ranked in the top 10, right? But what's been tried is true. Like, how many years do we have to see the SEC dominating bowl games, dominating the NFL draft, dominating the non-conference before we go like, yeah, they get the benefit of the doubt? That's what happened with Texas A&M. Shouldn't be surprised.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Happy Thanksgiving to you. This is the Doug Gottlieb Show. You can always listen to the show wherever you go on your iHeartRadio app, on foxsportsradio.com, or of course on our hundreds of affiliates nationwide. We also have the podcasts, which are available wherever you download podcasts. Let's welcome in Rod Woodson, Hall of Famer, of course, famously not just a Raven, but a Steeler. And there will be no Ravens and Steelers tomorrow. It's supposed to be played tomorrow. You got the Ravens with a bit of an outbreak. It might help them get their running backs back because the number of days required in order for you to recover. But Rod, what must this be like for the Ravens, who have kind of been backpedaling here and struggling, and the Steelers undefeated, to have a game postponed a day before it was set to take place?
Well, I mean, you know, both programs, they know who they are. You know, the Ravens know the Steelers know the Ravens. And really, if you look at the big picture, it really benefits the Ravens. You know, now they can get back, you know, Ingram and Dobbins, and having those guys back, three out of their four, three had a monster in the running game, plus Lamar, that's a critical piece for them. You know, they need to find a way to win those critical games, not only scoring points, but defensively, they have to start getting critical stops like they were doing at the beginning of the year, and recently they have not done that.
Okay, before we get into the stops, let me start with the offense. You know, based upon your unique ability to see the football game as a former coach and a superstar player and analyst, what are your thoughts on the Raven offense? Like, I know you have injuries. You know, you lose your center to retirement. You lose your left tackle to injury. They still have a talented tight ends. They still have Hollywood Brown. And yet, for whatever reason, the offense hasn't progressed. It feels like it's regressed. What do you see from the Ravens offense?
Well, they're not scoring 30 some points a game like they were last year. You know, they're scoring 27 points a game around. So it's not a real big drop off defensively. They're paying about the same. I just think, and if you go back and look at the history of this style offense, go back to Greg Roman with the 49ers, right, with Colin. When everybody first saw it, they caught everybody off guard, and nobody really knew how to defend it. And then a couple years into it, everybody played them a little bit tighter and a little bit better. And it was the same thing here. You know, it's they seen it, they kind of understand it, they know that it's a run game. In between the tackles, they will run on the edges. Lamar will run that zone reads and RPOs. Most of those zone reads and RPOs are all based inside. And I think everybody's starting to pack the inside of the field, especially the short middle, and that's making Lamar have to throw the ball outside. And that's something that they haven't done consistently well yet, with Lamar being the starting quarterback. So I think it's not a dramatic change. You know, 4 points does lose and win a lot of football games in the National Football League, so I'm not taking that lightly. But, you know, they're a good football team. And, you know, when you talk about the center retiring, the leadership again, leadership is very valuable in the National Football League, in all major sports. And when you can have that leadership during practice, during games, but then during the close games, you need that leadership on the field. And right now, I think they're still trying to find who's going to be the main leader, the vocal leader for the Ravens offense on a consistent basis. We know Ingram is that emotional leader, but who's going to be that leader that's going to speak wisdom to the team when the game is tight?
Rod Woodson joining us on the Doug Gottlieb Show. What about their defense? What's different there?
Their defense is playing well. It's just some of those simple plays, you know, like the Brown play. You know, it was a 3-yard slant goes for a 14-15-yard touchdown, and he drags multiple players into the end zone. That's not Ravens football. You know, when you go into the field at the Ravens facility at their stadium, you see where it says, play like a Raven. Well, that's not playing like a Raven. I mean, when you let one guy drag three players into the end zone and it's a 3-yard slant, you know, it's kind of disappointing to say the least. And, you know, I'm a fan of Marcus Peters. I think he's a playmaker. I liked him when he was even in high school from Oakland. So, you know, they need to make those stops when they're called upon. They're playing good football. I think they're only giving up around 20 points a game. So they're playing really good football. It's just those critical stops in those moments. And then Achilles heel is stopping the run in those big games. And they haven't done that on a consistent basis. And they have to show that when a team is going to come in there and play like Tennessee is going to play, that you have to be able to stop the run.
Rod Woodson, our guest in the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Offenses are different. Steelers have always had a good defense. What is unique and special about this defense when you watch them play?
Well, I mean, they're just playing. You know, ever since, go back to last year, the first four games they played absolutely terrible. They did not look like the Pittsburgh Steelers. And they made a trade, and they got Minkah over. And Minkah came over. In the first game, I believe he had an interception and a call fumble or a fumble recovery. I can't remember exactly which one. But what he did for the group is that attitude is contagious. And it allowed everybody else to see it outside of TJ. TJ already had that in him. It let the rest of them see, oh, I can put my foot in the ground and go make plays. Hey, this is okay. It's, you know, coach is allowing us to do this type of stuff. So ever since he's been there, and even though he hasn't had number-wise the games or the season he had last year, he's made a huge difference in the mindset of the back end and how the linebackers and the rush come together. And you love how TJ's really opened it up for everybody else in a pass rush, because if you don't slide it to TJ, he's getting in the backfield almost consistently.
Yeah. It's pretty special to watch. Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. You mentioned leadership. What does it do to Tua's leadership where he's in his third start, he's struggling on the road against the Broncos, and he gets pulled? Now, he's going to be the starter coming back to this week, but what does that do to a rookie quarterback's leadership, in your opinion?
Yeah, I would have liked to see him, let him play, but obviously Flores knows his guys, right? Because when Flores made the decision to start Tua, including myself, I was like, man, what is he doing? I mean, Fitzmadrick, the beard to wonder, was playing really good football for the Miami Dolphins. But he's seen something. You know, I would like to see how a young player at all positions are playing badly, playing poorly, and have the resolve to come back and have a decent ending to his game and follow up that the following week to see how he plays. Now, obviously, you already said that Tua is going to be the starting quarterback this week, but it's going to be interesting to see how that mindset works for Tua. Does he shrug it all off, or does he let that rookie slump sometimes come into to play, linger into game number two?
Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. I have my own thoughts on Tom Brady and Bruce Arians, but you know, Arians has been critical of Brady for missing on throws and misreading defenses. You played against Tom Brady, and you know they were the one team that were kind of your nemesis, right? They would, if I remember correctly, whether it's you or after you left, they'd come into Pittsburgh and they go five wide and they just dink and dunk you to death so the blitzes couldn't get to you, right?
he just get
rid of it so quick. Like, we can't get home. He gets rid of it so quick. Now he's playing in a system where they want him to hold it and throw it down the field, and it's not going as well. Plus, he's 43 years old, and Arians is being critical of him. As a great football player and a great football coach, what do you think when you see Arians saying that Brady isn't playing well and everybody else is playing well around him?
Well, you know, I think what it twofold. So everybody has to see Bruce Arians is going to talk to Tom Brady. Everybody knows Tom Brady's the GOAT, right? One of the best quarterbacks, if not the best quarterback to ever play in a National Football League. So everybody's watching, okay, how is Bruce going to speak to him when he messes up, comparable to us? Well, he's not holding his punches, just like he wouldn't hold his punches to any other of the guys. Now, you know, Tom has made some bad reads. You know, that interception he had late in the game, you know, this past weekend, he just read it wrong. I don't know if he thought, you know, Godwin was going to go, you know, break it to the post and go across the face of the other safety. You know, that's not a normal read for Tom Brady. But then again, he doesn't throw a lot of deep balls. Last time I remember Tom throwing deep balls is when he had Randy Moss.
Yeah.
Right? So that's the last time I remember that.
Well, how many years ago was that?
That's a long time ago.
More than a decade ago.
So it's, you know, They're still a good football team. They're a solid football team. And as long as, they have three really good receivers and Gronk can play his way into shape, which he's looking like he's better, he's getting there. And Tom keeps learning the system and learning what he's looking for and what he's looking at. Listen, I would think unless the wheels fell off, they're going to make the postseason. And, facing Tom Brady and Todd Bowles' defense in the postseason is going to be a tough task.
Yeah, it's not the calling him out, it's the calling him out publicly, right? It's like one thing to point out you're not playing well, you need to play better, you need to make right reads. But to do so publicly, even Belichick never did that. Like, he gives the press nothing.
But Bruce does that to all his players.
I understand, but he also hasn't coached a 6-time Super Bowl champion, a 9-time Super Bowl guy, and be like, yo, this system, it sounds really good. Well, the thing was, when you went from Baltimore and Pittsburgh, I would guess a lot of the cultural things are the same, right? Imagine, though, if you went to a completely different culture and style and you were asked to do things late in your career you hadn't done before.
Yeah, which I did when I came to Oakland. Yeah. This is what I meant by when I first said, the other players are looking at Bruce and how Bruce was going to speak to Tom Brady or about Tom Brady when Tom Brady wasn't playing well, if he didn't play well, comparable to the rest of the team. Well, he's going to call out everybody, and he'll do it publicly. That's been his MO since he's been in the National Football League, right? That's who he is. Obviously, he's never had a Tom Brady, okay? But what he's doing with the rest of the guys, the rest of the 53 guys, is like he's saying, listen, this guy's no different, even though he has 6 Super Bowl rings, he's going to have a gold jacket, he's going to have a Hall of Fame ring, he's going to have a bus in Canton, but he's not treating him any different. And he wants him, Tom Brady, to be a starting quarterback, to play at a certain level. And I think that it goes, I would think, Tom doesn't have a problem with it, because I think Tom would have a meeting with Bruce Arians if he did have a problem with it, and it would be kind of squashed. Since it's still continuing on, I think Tom is letting it be the way it is for the fact that it helps the rest of the team. And at the end of the day, we know that this game, the NFL football game, is played by complete team, and everybody has to play their part. And Tom is no different than that, and Bruce is letting everybody know that.
Rod, I hope you have a happy and safe Thanksgiving. We really appreciate you joining us, and you just provide incredible insight. Thanks so much.
All right, take care now.
All right, that's Rod Woodson. Great dude, incredible football player. Like, I'm trying to before he hurt his knee. I mean, Rod Woodson was the best defense player in the sport. He was Derwin James. That's basically who he was. So, when will we see the return of Christian McCaffrey? Find out next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Every day at this time, we get to the stories of the day. We do so by playing a game with Steve DeSager.
What's
that read?
This is game time.
It's game time.
On the Doug Gottlieb Show.
Steve DeSager, what do you got, my friend?
We have real news or fake news.
Real news, fake news.
There, you're going to hear that lovable voice depending on whether it's an actual item I'm passing along or you're being faked out by our great production staff. Item number one, the Panthers are expected to get both quarterback Teddy Bridgewater and running back Christian McCaffrey back this week against the Vikings. Is that real news or fake news?
Fake news.
You are fake news.
It is fake news. They expect Bridgewater back. They do not expect Christian McCaffrey to play against the Vikings, even though with the bad shoulder, he did at least return to the practice field today, but with one of those red non-contact jerseys. So that's a no on him, it does appear.
Yes, not ready just yet.
No, and so this would be, 3 games in a row that he's missing. Meanwhile, quarterback Phillip Rivers, who just got a win for the Colts over the Packers in OT this last weekend, he missed practice today. His status is in doubt for Sunday against division rival the Titans. Is that real news or fake news?
That's real news.
You are fake news.
He did miss practice today, bruised toe, and they will not have a practice on the holiday tomorrow, but they're hoping with a couple of days off, he won't need any more days off. And it's the Colts 7-3 hosting the Titans 7-3. Just as a precaution, they're holding Rivers out because of the bruised toe apparently suffered this past Sunday against the Packers.
Just as a precaution.
Item three, Mike Glennon will start his first NFL game since 2017 when he quarterbacks the Jaguars, who play the Browns on Sunday. Is that real news or fake news?
That's real news.
They're real and they're spectacular.
In fact, Coach Doug Marrone is going with Mike Glennon over the rookie Jake Luton, who has been benched. Gardner Minshew apparently not quite ready, so against the Browns, it will be the tall one, Mike Glennon.
That's bizarre.
Item number also bizarre.
It's just the moving pieces that he's already bailing on Luton is just.
Well, it's like the Bengals. They had a backup quarterback come in, Ryan Finley, and I guess he impressed them so little that he's remaining the backup, and Brandon Allen's now going to start for Cincinnati this weekend. Okay. Quarterback Justin Herbert of the Chargers won his first Offensive Player of the Week in his win over the Jets. He impressed. Is that real news or fake news?
Real news.
They're real and they're spectacular.
Technically, it is real news. He has been voted the FedEx NFL Air Player of the Week. That is a fan vote, which he dominated over 85%. There is, separately, the AFC Offensive Player of the Week award. That went to Deshaun Watson, who's going to be playing on Thanksgiving for the Texans at Detroit. But technically, yes, he did win the award this week, the Air Player of the Week. And this one. You know, we're having a top 20 athletes of the last 20 years here at Fox Sports Radio.
I'm aware.
Celebrating. And we're celebrating our 20 years on the year. So, real news or fake news, Steph Curry ranks ahead of Mariano Rivera on our list of the top 20 of the last 20 years.
I know they're both in the bottom five, but I don't.
Yeah, they're not in the top 15. They're in the next five.
I'll go real news.
They're real and they're spectacular.
Yes, Steph Curry is listed as 16 on our list. Mariano Rivera, first ballot Hall of Famer, at 17 on the list. Rivera was the only unanimous selection into Cooperstown.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, I mean... It's really hard. Steph obviously is three-time champion, right? They won one without KD and then won two with KD. So three-time champion and a two-time MVP. I frankly think that's better, Mariano Rivera, and he's a transcendent player. So is Rivera, but I would agree with that ranking. I believe my own rankings had mirrored that as well.
Stay tuned to later in the year, by the way, as we reveal 1 through 20. We gave you just a little preview there. Rivera and Curry in the top 20.
That's game, huh?
Game time.
This is Game Time on the Doug Gottlieb Show.
All right, Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. All right, watching a little college hoop. Weird, right? It is weird. I want to promote this All Ball podcast. I had Ron Baker on. And Ron and I kind of hit it off. I was covering him, Salt Lake City. He was a redshirt freshman. And obviously that team went to the Final Four. And we've been friends kind of ever since. He just went to Russia and came back. And he's going to shut it down. He had hip surgery, so he's done as a player. But a very good guy. And obviously a legend in college basketball. And basically what he said, I won't give away details, but When I asked him why guys didn't speak out back then when some of this stuff happened, he's like, look, we're in the middle of a season. We're a good team. We're kids. We don't know how to handle it. It's a great point. We spend way too much time on radio and TV talking about things that are never going to happen. I'll explain next in the Doug Gottlieb Show.